It wasn't long before I saw Finn again. It was early afternoon, and I was in the office with Siegfried when the outer door banged and the passage echoed to the clumping of hobnails. I heard a voice raised in song.
Ah, diddly rum diddum.
Phineas was in our midst once more.
Well, well, well!
He bawled heartily at Miss Harbottle.
It's Flossie! And what's my little darling doing this fine day?
There was not a flicker from Miss Harbottle's granite features. She directed an icy stare at the intruder, but Finn swung round on Siegfried with a yellow-toothed grin.
Now, gaffer, those tricks!
Everything's fine, Mr. Calvert, Siegfried replied. What can we do for you? Finn stabbed a finger at me.
There's my man! I want him out to my place, right sharpish!
What's the trouble, I asked. Is it the calves again?
Damn no, wish it was! It's me good bull. He's puffing like a bellows. Bit like pneumonia, but worse than I've known. He's in a hell of a state. Looks like he's pigging out.
For an instant, Finn lost his jocularity. I had heard of this bull. Pedigree Shorthorn, show winner, the foundation of his herd. I'll be right after you, Mr. Calvert. I'll follow you along.
Good lad. I'm off then.
Finn paused at the door, a wild figure, tieless, tattered, baggy trousers ballooning from his ample middle. He turned again to Miss Harbottle and contorted his leathery features into a preposterous leer.
Ta-da, Floss!
He cried, and was gone. For a moment the room seemed very empty and quiet, except for Miss Harbottle's acid.
Oh, that man! Dreadful! Dreadful!
I made good time to the farm and found Finn waiting with his three sons. The young men looked gloomy, but Finn was still indomitable.
Here he is!
He shouted.
Happy Harry again! Now we'll be all right!
He even managed a little tune as we crossed to the bullpen. But when he looked over the door, his head sank on his chest, and his hands worked deeper behind his braces. The bull was standing as though rooted to the middle of the pen. His great ribcage rose and fell with the most laboured respirations I'd ever seen. His mouth gaped wide. A bubbling foam hung round his lips and his flaring nostrils. His eyes, almost starting from his head in terror, stared at the wall in front of him. This wasn't pneumonia. It was a frantic battle for breath, and it looked like a losing one. He didn't move when I inserted my thermometer, and though my mind was racing, I suspected the half-minute wasn't going to be long enough this time. I had expected accelerated breathing, but nothing like this.
Poor old bugger,
Finn muttered.
He's bred me the finest calves I've ever had, and he's quiet as a sheep, too. I've seen my little grandchildren walk under his belly, and he took no notice. I hate to see him suffering like this. If you can't do no good, just sell me, and I'll get the gun out.
I took the thermometer out and read it. 110 degrees Fahrenheit. This was ridiculous. I shook it vigorously and pushed it back into the rectum. I gave it nearly a minute this time, so that I could get in some extra thinking. The second reading said 110 again, and I had an unpleasant conviction that if the thermometer had been a foot long, the mercury would still have been jammed against the top. What in the name of God was this? Could be anthrax. We must be, and yet... I looked over at the row of heads above the half-door. They were waiting for me to say something, and their silence accentuated the agonized groaning and panting. I looked above the heads to the square of deep blue and a tufted cloud moving across the sun. As it passed, a single dazzling ray made me close my eyes and a faint bell rang in my mind.
Has he been out today?
I asked.
Aye, he's been out on the grass in his tether all morning. It were that grand and warm.
The bell became a triumphant gong.
Get a hosepipe in here, quick. You can rig it up to that tap in the yard. A hosepipe? What the hell? Yes, quick as you can. He's got sunstroke.
They had the hose fixed in less than a minute. I turned it full on and began to play the jet of cold water all over the huge form, his face and neck, along the ribs, up and down the legs. I kept this up for about 5 minutes, but it seemed a lot longer as I waited for some sign of improvement. I was beginning to think I was on the wrong track when the bull gulped just once. It was something. He had been unable to swallow his saliva before in his desperate efforts to get the air into his lungs. and I really began to notice a change in the big animal. Surely he was looking just a little less distressed, and wasn't the breathing slowing down a bit? Then the bull shook himself, turned his head, and looked at us. There was an awed whisper from one of the young men.
By God, it's working.
I enjoyed myself after that. I can't think of anything in my working life that has given me more pleasure than standing in that pen directing a life-saving jet and watching the bull savoury it. He liked it on his face best. And as I worked my way up from the tail and along the steaming back, he would turn his nose full into the water, rocking his head from side to side and blinking blissfully. Within half an hour, he looked almost normal. His chest was still heaving a little, but he was in no discomfort. I tried the temperature again, down to 105. He'll be all right now, I said, but I think one of the lads should keep the water on him for another 20 minutes or so. I'll have to go now.
You've time for a drink,
Finn grunted. In the farm kitchen, his bellow of
Mother!
Lacked some of its usual timbre. He dropped into a chair and stared into his glass of nutty brown.
Harry,
he said.
I'll tell you, you flummoxed me this time.
He sighed and rubbed his chin in apparent disbelief.
I don't know what the hell to say to you.
It wasn't often that Finn lost his voice, but he found it again very soon at the next meeting of the Farmers' Discussion Group. A learned and earnest gentleman had been expounding on the advances in veterinary medicine, and how the farmers could now expect their stock to be treated as the doctors treated their human patients with the newest drugs and procedures. It was too much for Finn. He jumped to his feet and he cried,
I think you're talking a lot of rubbish. There's a young fella in Darraby, not long out of college, and it doesn't matter what you call him out for, he uses nowt but Epsom salts and cold water.